This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Marion Jones, the world-class sprinter who won 5 medals at the 2000 Sydney Olympics, admitted last Friday that she used performance-enhancing drugs leading up to the Games. Yesterday, she returned those medals, 3 gold and 2 bronze, and agreed to forfeit all results, medals, and prizes dating back to September 1, 2000. Jones also faces time in prison after she pleaded guilty to federal charges. The confession by America's one-time golden girl came as a shock to many, especially after she protested her innocence for so long. But she is hardly the first athlete to get caught cheating, which raises a couple of questions. Why do athletes do it, and why do they think they can get away with it? In a few minutes, we'll ask Joe Papp, who now admits that he used performance-enhancing drugs as a professional bicycle racer. Later in the program, Buddhist monks and politics in Myanmar. But first, athletes and steroids. If you have questions about motives, cover-ups, denial, and the repercussions, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. We begin with NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman. He joins us by phone from his office in Portland, Oregon. Nice to have you on the program, Tom.
Hi, Neil. Actually, I'm on the microphone.
Yes, I can hear that. Okay. Just reading the script here. Anyway, I guess one of the questions that we still have not heard answers about the Marion Jones case is why she agreed to plead guilty now.
Yeah, well, an important thing to point out here, she decided to plead guilty not because she tested positive. Marion Jones, while she was vociferously protesting her innocence, as you said, over several years, said, you know, I was tested over 100 times and never tested positive. Well, that's not why she admitted what she did. The prosecutors in this case had so much against her, basically. The weight of evidence was so great against her. What they call a non-analytical positive, meaning they have everything but a positive test. And they also got an admission from Marion Jones. So this plea deal was her best chance when faced with this evidence to save face, to get reduced punishment, because the counts she was facing carried a maximum of 10 years in prison total. And now it's thought that if she does do jail time, it'll be closer to about 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Now, that evidence, all of this arose out of the Balco case, correct?
That's right, the Balco doping investigation.
Yeah, Balco, the Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative in the San Francisco Bay Area that's been connected to so many athletes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Since 2003, when the lab was first raided, and Marion Jones has been one of the names that has come up repeatedly with that. She was part of the Balco investigation. She was one of the athletes who testified before a grand jury investigating the Balco doping scandal in 2003. And she admitted in her admission in court that she took the powerful steroid called the Clear, which was one of the drugs at the heart of the Balco scandal. And interestingly, Neil, one thing she didn't admit in court was that she got numerous banned performance-enhancing drugs from Balco founder Victor Conti and took those drugs in front of him. Now, he said this on network TV in 2004. She sued him for defamation, and they settled. But Victor Conti stands by what he said 3 years ago. Marion Jones made no mention of all the other drugs that Victor Conti alleges that she took.
Well, a little bit later in this program, we're going to be speaking with Victor Conti about that. So stay tuned for that. But there are questions. Marion Jones returned the medals she won, but there are also medals that were awarded. She won 2 of those medals, 1 gold and 1 bronze, and in relay races, in which there were, of course, other women running along with her. What's going to happen to them?
That's right. That's ultimately up to the International Olympic Committee and the IAAF, Track's international governing body. There is a precedent for allowing teammates to keep their medals if one of the members is found to have doped. The Court of Arbitration for Sport, which is the highest sports court in the world, has ruled that way in the past, to allow teammates to keep their medals. But the U.S. Olympic Committee, Chairman Peter Ueberroth said yesterday, he said, I don't have jurisdiction over this. It's not my decision. But he said Marion Jones' teammates in those 2 relays should should have to give the medals back. He said it's our opinion that when any sporting event is won unfairly, it's completely tarnished and should be returned. And he says those relay events were won unfairly.
It should be pointed out that two of the women who ran with Marion Jones in the 400-meter relay team have since themselves served time for doping on their part. And it's interesting that the woman who finished second to Marion Jones in the 100 meters was the Greek sprinter Katerina Thanou. She was one of the two Greek athletes who was suspended for a couple of years for ducking a doping test in the Athens Olympics.
Right, the infamous motorcycle accident, or was it a motorcycle accident from the Athens Games that she and her and the male sprinter were involved with? And yes, if the International Olympic Committee and the IAAF, as I mentioned, if they decide to, you know, change the order of finish, everyone moves up, and Katerina Thanou won the silver, as you say, in the 100 meters. You know, they may have their hands tied. When she missed those drug tests in 2004, that was 2004, when she won the silver, it was 2000. They may not have any evidence that she was doping back then. If that's the case, she could get the gold medal, and you know, there may be a little cloud over that lingering.
Mm-hmm. She's issued a comment, a no comment about the possibility thus far. But all of this just suggests how widespread the use of performance enhancing drugs is.
Yes, that's really all I can say, and it keeps going on and going on, and you know, you hope that a thing like what happened with Marion Jones and this tearful kind of confession on the courthouse steps will maybe spur us to what? Maybe a new dialogue, a new paradigm. I think, you know, one of the things that you will hear people say, and Victor Conti may even say this later in your show, is that drug testing really doesn't work. I mean, it works somewhat, and sports league commissioners like to trot it out as saying we have the toughest drug testing, but, you know, this stuff is still happening after 25 years, and it's not going away, and the motivation to dope is still there on the part of athletes. And, you know, interestingly, I mean, you think about, okay, what will her courtroom what will the courthouse step admission that she made the other day, that tearful thing, what will that do to other athletes who are either doping themselves or continue to dope? Will that serve as some deterrent? That's hard to say, because athletes do want to continue to gain every advantage, and they also know that they can beat the tests. And the New York Times, interestingly, quotes a sports agent named Paul Doyle, who represents a lot of track and field athletes. He says the only deterrent that may happen here is if Marion Jones does jail time. He says, you know, I think now athletes see athletes who have tested positive. They get back on the track 2 years after and later, and then they, you know, continue to earn money. But, you know, if anything, that reinforces the desire to go on drugs. But he's saying, if there's jail time here, maybe that would be a deterrent.
They're also using new techniques, not just the test, as you say, which are clearly not adequate, but investigative techniques like the ones that got Marion Jones, and now getting these lists of clients from pharmacies that supplied steroids to various people. So that's coming out in some of the baseball investigations. Tom Goldman, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Neil.
Tom Goldman, NPR sports correspondent, with us on the line from his office in Portland, Oregon. Joining us now is Joe Papp. He's a former professional bicycle racer who tested positive for synthetic testosterone and is himself serving a 2-year ban. He joins us from the studios of WDUQ in Pittsburgh. Very nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
And I guess that question that Tom Goldman raised, why is it that you and other athletes, let's stick with you. Why did you decide to use the performance-enhancing drugs?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? Why did I do something that was fundamentally unethical and immoral and basically, you know, flew in the face of everything that I had been raised to believe in? And, you know, I still ask myself that same question today. You know, I know that for me personally, the environment in which I was competing, the use of performance-enhancing drugs was not some fundamentally horrific thing that, you know, you spent a lot of time, you know, agonizing over. It was just another tool in the toolbox of performance enhancement and you know, figuring out how to ride faster on your bike, basically. I mean, I was just thinking before I came in today, when I started cycling competitively at age 14, I never said, I want to do whatever it takes, including using performance-enhancing drugs, in order to be successful. And yet, that's exactly what happened, and it's really ruined my life. I wish I could, say exactly why it happened, but it did. I mean, the the start of it was when I came back to competing full-time after having been in graduate school, and I was shocked by an across-the-board just general increase in the speeds of the races and the competitiveness of riders who were not that competitive previously. And I was sitting at a coffee shop, and I asked one of my teammates, who was a foreigner, kind of not even asked him really, but was just kind of musing about how different the racing scene was and how much harder it was. And he said, "Well, you know, you really should go see Dr. So-and-so, who can explain this a bit better to you and help you get back to the level of competitiveness that you were at before." And you know, I was very passionate about cycling, and I really loved my sport, and I loved being good at it. And at that point, it seemed almost natural. Like, well, if it's not an excuse to say that everyone else is doing it, so I'm going to do it because nobody forced me into it. But yet, that was the kind of mentality, was that if I want to be competitive and this is kind of, you know, infecting the sport, you know, across the board, then, you know, I better get on board.
You've described it in speeches as being sort of inducted into a secret club.
Yeah, it really was. It was like becoming part of a secret society, or being... I've never been in the mob, obviously, so I couldn't say what it's like to be...
Well, if you have, you've broken that omerta thing.
Right, exactly, right, and I probably won't make it out of the studio here, but I imagine that it was very similar to this, because as the previous guest was saying, doping is now being criminalized in a lot of countries, and in addition to just worrying about a sporting sanction, athletes are facing potential jail time, and that is because it's an inherently criminal activity in a lot of places. So when you're doing something that facilitates or improves your athletic performance, and at the same time you're running the risk of, you know, going to jail if you get caught with it, it just breeds a kind of a culture of secrecy and you know, mob-like atmosphere, and that's what it really felt like to have been brought into that. That group, really.
We're talking about steroids and athletes and why they might take performance-enhancing drugs. We'll continue our conversation with Joe Pappin. We'll also talk with the man who says he supplied Marion Jones with banned substances later in the program. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Marion Jones is just the latest athlete to admit to use of performance-enhancing drugs. Today we're talking about why athletes do it and why they think they can get away with it. Later we'll hear from Victor Conti. He's the former head of the Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative, or BALCO. Conti and his partner pleaded guilty to illegal steroid distribution and to money laundering. Still with us right now is former bicycle racer Joe Papp, who was also found guilty of using illegal drugs and suspended from competition for 2 years. If you have questions about motives, cover-ups, denial, and repercussions of performance-enhancing drugs, our number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org, and you can read what other listeners have to say at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. And let's get a caller on the line. This is Catherine. Catherine's calling us from California.
Hi.
Hi.
Larkspur.
In Larkspur. Go ahead, please.
I have a unique perspective. It's two-pronged. I was the 1979 high jump champion out of high school and a heptathlete and the first four-year ride to Berkeley in the women's track and field. And it only took me about 2 years to just determine that it was never going to happen for me, because everybody around me, especially at the elite level, national level, and international level, I just wasn't willing to go down that road. And my best friend and I, who she ironically was Greek, made a decision that just wasn't something we were going to do. And so my first prong is that statement is that there is an untold story about all the thousands, literally, athletes, men and women, who make a conscious decision that are really great athletes, doing the right thing, working really hard, and they just drop out because they're just not willing to do the things to your body and to go down that road. It's not even an ethical issue. It's just more like a consciousness issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, now that I'm 46, I'm actually a licensed road racer. I race crits, bikes, cycling.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, at the amateur level, people that are, you know, midlife, you know, gaining some weight, having a hard time training, are using online systems to buy steroids. And they're using supplements that are actually banned from the licensing agency. So I have this like 30-year perspective of people using steroids that is just, it's just funny that we're bringing this to the forefront today when it has been entrenched and around for seriously.
For 30 years. I wonder, Catherine, any second thoughts, any even fleeting thoughts of, gee, you know, I could have been a contender.
Oh, that's why I'm calling you.
Yeah.
It's like I absolutely, there's not a time goes by where I hear the thing about Marion Jones. In fact, when the Marion Jones thing came out, I not only felt compassion for her, because that's exactly what you need to do to redeem yourself. You got to tell the truth and you got to redeem yourself or you will never be able to face yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, my heart went out for 30 years of women that stood on the line and just one day decided, I'm done. I can't. And these women could have gone to the Olympics. They could have won medals. They could have competed for 10, 15, 20 years. But the reality is that those drugs work. They're miraculous. They have you faster recovery time. You're stronger. You can train longer and harder. And they really are amazing drugs. They do work.
Hmm.
I mean, I can tell you that I was around Olympic-level Olympic medal winners, and I actually was engaged to a guy that was the first U.S. contingent that got busted for steroids in the 80s, and he got extradited to Canada.
Hmm.
And, I mean, I was around those people socially, and it works. The problem is that for everybody else that decides to live by the rules and to actually live, and I know it's corny. This will be my last thing, and then I'll let it go. It's
okay.
Corny. There is a huge contingent of athletes that believe in the Olympic dream and the mission. They believe it. They want to be pure, and they want to train hard, and they want to do the right thing. And it's these other athletes that have a hard time competing and having a hard time recovering, and they're not as athletically sort of like talented, or they're trying to get an edge. They don't want the pain and the suffering that's really truly involved with being a clean athlete. And everybody else just gets completely your career's done. You can't compete against that.
Hmm. Catherine, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Joe Papp, is she right? The stuff works?
Unfortunately, it does work, and it works phenomenally well.
How does your body feel? How do you feel after you take it?
Well, that depends, obviously, on the actual product, the medicine that you're using. But, you know, the majority of the cases, the drugs, like your caller was saying, are taken to facilitate recovery. And, for example, during a bicycle race that might be 2 weeks long, 2,000 miles, you can imagine that by, you know, 5 days into that race, you're absolutely shattered physically and, you know, more tired than you've ever been. And to be able to either inject yourself with something or to take an oral pill and, you know, over the course of 8 hours of sleeping, wake up the next day still tired but able to basically replicate or reproduce your best effort and perform at your, you know, almost 100% of your physical capacity is intoxicating in a certain way, because the fatigue never goes away, and the, you know, the pain is never totally eliminated. That just unfortunately doesn't happen, or not unfortunately, but the reality is that it doesn't happen. But to be able to day in and day out come close to performing at 100% of your peak physical capacity is the reality of using performance enhancing drugs.
And that pervasiveness that Catherine was talking about, does that sound familiar too?
Well, yeah, I can only speak about what I saw. And what I saw was widespread use of performance-enhancing drugs.
Hmm. See if we get another caller on the line. This is Joan, and Joan's with us from Chapel Hill in North Carolina.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling because I think that anyone who uses these performance-enhancing drugs is no different than a common thief. They stole thousands, in the Sprinter's cases, millions of dollars in endorsements from worthy competitors who maybe were clean, we don't know. But I was in the Olympics in 1996, and Regina Jacobs, who was also a Balco aligned athlete, lined up in four different Olympic trials in races that I was in and other female distance runners were in. And in essence, when you lined up with Regina, you knew there were only two Olympic team spots available because she stole, as a thief, every single spot she was on because she was on performance-enhancing drugs. And I don't know why we're even talking about this as a moral issue. It's a criminal issue. And I'll take my comment off the air.
All right, Joan. Thank you very much. Do you feel like a thief, Joe Papp?
Yeah, I feel I stole from my competitors, and I also, I betrayed everything that my family taught me, and I betrayed what the Olympic movement stands for. I betrayed the ideal of clean sport, and I don't know who was clean and who wasn't clean beyond the people that I was intimately familiar with, and at the same time, whoever was clean, who I beat, I stole victory from them. Yeah. It's a reality. It's what it is now, and it's something that I have to live with every day of my life, and it also follows me around publicly, and I'm reminded of it on a daily basis, so yeah.
Now, just before you were caught, you didn't fess up. You were caught in a test. You were looking for a new job.
I was getting ready to make a transition from being a cyclist to developing a professional career outside of sport. And I, thankfully, am university educated. I went to grad school. My dad would say that I had no common sense because look at how I've ended up. But yeah, I wanted to transition out of cycling, and I was looking at, ironically enough, pharmaceutical sales.
You can't write that script, can you?
You really can't, and if you could, you'd get paid a lot of money for it.
Marion Jones and other athletes may be forced to pay back prize money that they won in addition to returning medals and surrendering records and other things like that. Is that something that you think you should do?
Well, if you read the details of my sanction, that's something I've been ordered to do, which is to return any and all prize medals, prizes, medals, trophies, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just waiting for the invoices.
And this is money you've presumably largely spent between winning it and now. So this is going to be a real hit.
Yeah, it's not in cycling. The prize money is nowhere near comparable to track and field, for example. And the absolute value for me is not, it's not $1 million or anything like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, joining us now by phone is Victor Conti, the founder and president of the now-closed Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative, BALCO. In 2005, he pleaded guilty to charges connected to the distribution of steroids to professional athletes and subsequently served 4 months in prison. And he joins us now by phone from his home in Burlingame, California. Victor Conti, very nice to speak with you.
How are you, Neil? I'd first like to say that I've really enjoyed the comments from your guests, Tom and Joe, and especially the athlete from Northern California, Catherine. Some very profound things that they've had to say, and I've enjoyed listening.
Mm-hmm. You obviously played a role in all of this.
I certainly did.
And obviously you've had to pay a price, too.
Yes, I've had to pay a price, and more importantly, my family members have also paid a tremendous price. And what I'd like to say is there's a lesson to be learned in all of this. And in a broad perspective, I'd like to say that athletes are not gods. They're human beings, and they make mistakes, just like everybody else in society. Marion Jones, in particular, is not a bad person. She's someone who made some extremely poor choices, and she and her family will now have to suffer the consequences of those choices. Very poor choices, much like I did.
Mm. How did it work when an athlete came to BALCO? Did they come to you knowing that the clear or the cream, whatever it was, that's what they were looking after? Who introduced who to what?
Well, to put it into perspective, I started working with world-class Olympic and professional athletes in 1984. And I didn't go down what they call the slippery slope until at some point in 1999. And what I realized was that because of the ineptness of the anti-doping policies and procedures in place, that many of the athletes felt that they had no choice. A type of use or lose mentality developed. And it's certainly not all athletes, but the majority of athletes. I think most people seem to feel that most of the apples in the barrel are ripe and there's only a few rotten ones, and I'm of a different opinion. I think that most of them are rotten and there are only a few ripe apples in the barrel. And I think that it has to do with, and the spotlight needs to be shined upon the Olympic governing body officials in professional sport, as well as the owners and players union executives. And like Catherine said earlier, The rampant use of performance-enhancing drugs in Olympic sport, it started with stimulants in the 50s, and steroids became widely used in the 60s. And this problem has existed for decades. And long before Marion Jones or Balco came along, there was a very rampant use of drugs in Olympic sport.
Now, you've spoken openly about Marion Jones, and as Tom Goldman mentioned earlier, there was a lawsuit involved there and a settlement of that lawsuit, and now you must feel vindication.
Well, I really don't have any sense of vindication. I feel sad for Marion, as well as all of the other athletes associated with Balco who were either banned or had legal consequences. I'm hoping at some point that those that have the money and the power to help create a more effective anti-doping policy will step up and help to create a more genuine level playing field at some point in the future.
You've, as we mentioned, spoken about Marion Jones and her use of performance-enhancing drugs. You've not spoken about other people associated with Balco, most prominently Barry Bonds.
Well, that's not true. In 2004, I was on Martin Beshear on ABC 2020, and I just decided that it was important to come forward and tell the truth and to do it for all of the right reasons. I believe that the parents of the young athletes of the future deserve to know about the entire history and what currently goes on at the elite level of sport. John McCain, with the Senate committee, subpoenaed documents from the Balco case and turned those over to USADA. And somewhere along the line, these documents got leaked to all sorts of journalists and reporters all over the world. And when I did the interview, he presented documents, calendars in my handwriting regarding Marion Jones and Tim Montgomery and Kelly White. And they asked me about all of these, and I answered truthfully. And I told the truth about what I know about Barry Bonds, and that is that my relationship with him and all discussions had to do with nutrition, and I never provided Barry with any steroids or other performance-enhancing drugs. In fact, we never even had a discussion about that. The reason was, back in that time frame, baseball didn't have testing.
Yes.
There was no need for them to become involved in what I call the duck and dodge techniques. Baseball players could basically use all of the performance-enhancing drugs that they chose to use, and there was no testing, and they were being fully enabled by the owners and players union executives.
Victor Conti, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Victor Conti, the founder and manager of the Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative, now the founder and CEO of Balco's replacement, an organization called SNAC, and he joined us from his home in San Mateo, California. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Scott. Scott's with us from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi. I just wanted to speak to the point that while a lot of professional athletes can probably take drugs or performance-enhancing substances, you know, in a more or less safe manner under doctor supervision, that puts a lot of downward pressure on the athletes really trying to, you know, break into a professional level of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And they're often forced to, you know, get drugs from, you know, questionable sources or without the proper supervision in order to take them properly. And I know that Joe Papp can speak to this personally, that there's actually, you know, probably a lot of deaths in cycling from, you know, misuse of EPO. And there's been, you know, riders, 22-year-old riders, dying in their sleep of heart attacks because...
You know, we just have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask Joe Papp if he could respond to it.
Yes, definitely. And the caller brings up a great point that the use of performance-enhancing drugs without medical... It's dangerous no matter what, but to do it without medical supervision is like playing Russian roulette. These are very strong medicines. They're very effective at enhancing performance, but they're typically being used in methodologies that were never intended. And you know, I personally never took a performance-enhancing drug until I was introduced to EPO by a licensed doctor in the United States and was managed in that program. But at the end of my career, I literally in my last race, I crashed. I fell down going maybe 5 miles an hour and almost died because of it, basically, because I had such diluted blood, basically, because of anticoagulants trying to manage the unexpected effect of EPO, that I had a huge internal bleeding, moment, and it could have been the end of my life. Why? To go faster in a bike race because I was doing something that I never should have been doing, and that no doctor that in his right mind would sanction, and yet it happens.
Scott, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
And Joe Papp, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Joe Papp, a former professional bicyclist racer, now serving a 2-year ban for doping. He joined us from WDUQ in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Coming up, the violent crackdown in Myanmar and the power of religion in that country. Plus, we'll read from your letters. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.